I am from the Midwest, not originally from Baltimore. And when you grow up in the Midwest in the 80s, you are just destined to become a totally uncritical, unapologetic, unabashed heavy metal fan. That was the case for me. My first concert was to go and see Poison and Tesla at the Palace of Auburn Hills. And my musical taste sort of evolved in a predictable fashion from there. I still had no shame in my game. I still am a metalhead today. Fast forward to about 2001 is when I moved here to Baltimore, totally on a whim, had done no homework about this place, moved here along with a fellow Midwestern heavy metal guy. And when we got here, we rolled in. It was late at night. We had a U-Haul. We had rented a super cheap row house on 34th Street in Hamden by the post office. It was cheap. That will tell you how long ago it was in Hamden. And the next morning, I remember we took a walk up and down 36th Street, and I was like taking in the vibe of the place, and thinking to myself, like, the beach has got to be really nearby here. Like, that's the level of homework I had done about where I was. So I got to know Baltimore better in the days and weeks to come. And what my roommate and I decided was that what this town really needed was, of course, a heavy metal band, which we were well equipped to, a service we were ready to provide. Now, I want to just make a couple of points of clarification about heavy metal. Heavy metal is a lot like pro wrestling in the sense that you can be a heavy metal fan and you can love heavy metal, but you can at the same time wrap your mind around the fact that heavy metal is, you know, it's sort of a fantasy construct that you consume and buy into, and that there's a certain amount of play acting. And you can understand that, and you can still be a heavy metal fan. And there's another kind of heavy metal fan that is just in complete denial of that logical circuit, and that's kind of a more scarier heavy metal fan. We were in the first camp of heavy metal fans. We loved the theater of it. We loved the sort of the, it was a production, a heavy metal band. And that is the kind of heavy metal band that we set about to create here in Baltimore. The lineup, me and my Midwestern roommate on dual lead guitars. It's a configuration not often used, but powerful. Let me just point you to the Scorpions and the fact they can play those solos in unison with each other. So we had that going on. For bass player, we had a really cool rock and roll girl who lived in the row house next to us who didn't really know how to play the bass, but she had this cool hot pink bass, so we were like, you're in. The drummer was actually another guy that we knew from the Midwest who had come since we had gotten to Baltimore and installed ourselves to come and visit us. And he had actually ridden his 10-speed bike from Chicago to Baltimore and showed up at our doorstep unannounced and had since been like living on our couch and just basically spending his days like playing NBA 2K on the PlayStation. So he was available. The singer, now this band needed a good singer, it needed a good front man, it needed the face of the band. And luckily, we happened to meet and know the very tall, handsome, androgynously fashionable icon, a.k.a. Mexican Holy for Holies restaurant owner, Jeffrey Danik. I don't know if you guys know this guy. He's a sight to behold and really has an incredible falsetto. And just a real flair for the dramatic. So and he was my boss at the time. That was my job. I was waiting tables at Holy for Holies. So, done. We had the lineup. We had all the elements we needed. Now came time for a very important task, and that was to name the band. Now, naming a heavy metal band is a special kind of an art. A challenge we were ready and willing and eager to take on. We had named other heavy metal bands in the past quite successfully. My guy that I had moved out there with had a band that you may or may not have heard of from the Columbus, Ohio area that was called Goat's Nuts. And there was an umlaut over the O and the U, and instead of an S, there was a Z. So we were good at this. We were ready to figure out a good name for this band. The truth is, we really didn't, it did not take long to come up with a good name for this band because we didn't have to look any further than the name of our old bowling team from where we had come from. And the name of this bowling team was Destroyer 666, which is a badass name for a bowling team. And we were just like, even better as a band name. So done. We had a name. We got down to the business of, we created a sort of a world around this band where all the songs of Destroyer 666 were going to be about how Destroyer 666 reigns supreme over all other metal bands. And if you'll permit me, I'll share a couple of choice lyrics with you. Myself and the other lead guitarist made all the lyrics. Beasts did abound in the days of yore when Destroyer 666 was born. Lightning flashed and thunder roared when we spread our wicked wings and soared. I'll give you just a couple more. Just south of a place called heaven, in the land of the mighty guitar licks, we turn it up to 11. Destroyer 666. And then the chorus of that song, I remember, was just shouting, Hamden! Hamden! Over and over again. We were playing to the locals, and we would practice in the basement of the row house, and we knew we were onto something because all the Hamden teens at the time, who had nothing better to do, would like conglomerate around our basement window and smoke cigarettes and just be Hamden teenagers. And so we had a legion of fans before we had ever even played a show. Well, the time came when we got a show, and it was at the very, we were the very opening band on a bill with like a dozen different bands, of course. It was actually at the old Auto Bar downtown, and so the week of the show came, and we were psyched because we got the city paper that week, and there we were listed in print, Destroyer 666. It was tiny print. It was at the bottom of the big list of other bands, but the city paper, that's validation. Day of the show arrives. We call up the venue to find what time load-in is, and they tell us, and when we're on the phone with them, they say, by the way, you know, a lot of people have been calling and asking if Destroyer 666 is going to play today. And we were just like, yes, the Hamden teens are going to show up. They're going to show out for us and represent. This is going to be huge. So we got to the venue, and that's when the mystery of these phone calls sort of came. There was some clarification that came to light. And that is that the people that worked there at the time told us they were a little dismayed to inform us of a little bit of trivia, and that's that we were not the first geniuses to come up with the name Destroyer 666 for our band. And that, in fact, there was another band called Destroyer 666 that was an extreme metal band from Australia that was also a white power band. The show happened. The show, we played, and I want to say, I think some fans of the other Destroyer 666 did show up, but honestly, I don't know, because if they did, they were far outnumbered by just the mass of beautiful Baltimore rock and roll weirdos that come to any Auto Bar show, and it must have been a weird sort of cultural moment of disorientation for those other fans to be in a situation where they found themselves to be a distinct minority and to feel maybe like they didn't necessarily belong in the place where they were. The night passed without incident, We rocked triumphantly. Jeffrey Danick did a great job as our front man. He drank. We had prepared a pumpkin full of fake blood that he drank. It was really more of a vaudeville show that was kind of a heavy metal-themed vaudeville show. The band played, I think, one more show after that, which was on stage at this club, the new Auto Bar, the very first week that it opened. We imploded shortly after that. We all got on with our lives. And what is you always are supposed to end your story with a moral, a reflection on life. No? Well, I'll do it anyway. The moral of the more lyrics. The moral of the story, I guess, is you can name your bowling team whatever you want. But when you name a band, at least do a Google search. Thank you.